They weren't influential. They didn't have a lot of money. They were strangers in town. And Mary was pregnant. Maybe she was a little too unclean for the Jewish innkeeper. No reputation preceded the holy couple. And they couldn't buy their way into the room by means of wealth. And so it ends up. There was no room for Jesus. No lodging for Christ. King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the very Son of God, is told by mankind, "I'm sorry, but there is no room for you here." There was no room for Jesus in the inn. No tidy, clean hospital replete with trained physicians and modern technology. No nurses on standby and incubators warm and ready for the tender infant. The Christ would come into filthy conditions, and his audience? Not nurses and doctors, but filthy, smelly animals. And he would be swaddled in who knows what and laid in a manger. And in case you have forgotten, that's a feed trough. Christ is placed in a feed trough where animals eat whatever is given them. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. The stable was it. The text reveals the humble beginnings of our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. The Christ child was excluded from an inn and born in a stable. Now, we've heard this story a lot, haven't we? Which means we're probably a little numb to its significance. And we have easy access to lavish hospitals and trained doctors. Let me rephrase that a little bit. Sinners have access to lavish hospitals and trained doctors, while the King of Glory doesn't even get to lodge with people. He's stuck on his birthday with animals in a stable. Sounds a little odd. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. But despite the worldly innkeeper's rejection, Jesus still comes. The King of Kings still comes as an infant, a child born of a virgin. Foolish to the world. Rejected. Despised. It pleases God to come in this way. It pleases God to save through that which the world sees as foolishness. An infant born of a virgin is the savior of humanity. By the wisdom and power of God, this happens even as the world says, "We have no room for you." The God of all creation, the governor of the cosmos, condescends himself to partake of human flesh and blood, and our God, our Christ, infiltrates this fallen world as a poor, lowly infant born of a virgin and laid in a manger, a feed trough, and all of it pleases God. It pleases the angels who glorify God in the presence of shepherds. It pleases God to save this way. Even while the world says, "We have no room for this Jesus." As usual, what we see in this text, friends, continues on to the present. The world still says, "We have no room for Jesus, no room for Christ." And that means no room for his word, no room to hear about sin. No room to hear about the forgiveness of sins. No room to hear about his sacraments. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new to see mankind reject his Savior out of unbelief. Mankind's exclusion of God, casting him aside because of our unbelief, it's nothing new. There's nothing ironic about Christmas time being that time of year when the gospel comes under heavy scrutiny. Oh, you know how it goes. The secular authorities work really hard to change the phrase Merry Christmas to the empty one of Happy Holidays. The word Christ in Christmas is changed to a simple X. Nativity scenes are banished from public grounds. Sure, all attempts to banish Jesus from public appearances. We've heard of this stuff. And any fervent Christian should be concerned. But we also can't say that we are in no way, shape, or form like the worldly innkeeper. Even Christians. Even God's redeemed people say from time to time, "Sorry, God, no room for you today." No room for the word. No room for going to church every Sunday. That's asking quite a lot. No room to tithe as we should. No room to hear the gospel as much as we should. No room for the sacraments. And we say things like this because we've got our excuses. Or so we tell ourselves. The underlying reason is always, it's always because of our sin. The sinful flesh, it still clings to us, even to the Christian. And the sinful flesh has no room for the grace and mercy of God. The sinner has no room for God's benevolence and kindness. The sinner has no room for a Savior, born to give us new birth in the eyes of God. It is the sinful flesh that says, "I have no room for Jesus." But you know what? He comes anyways. The sinful man, dead in trespasses, wants to rebel, turn, and run from God. And what does God do? Runs after you, chases you down, grabs you, and puts you on his shoulders and brings you into his kingdom, kicking and screaming. He gives you faith to believe and trust even when the world says otherwise. He gives you faith to receive his gifts like we just saw with Isla, receiving holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, the gospel, the good news that says you are forgiven of your sin for the sake of Christ. Even when we say, "I have no room," God comes anyways. Out of his grace and love to give you that new birth, to make you alive even when you were dead in your sin. Tonight, the Christmas message is this: sin and death do not stop God from saving you. God loves you so much, he sent his son this way, exactly as we have heard tonight. And yet you might say to yourself, "How could God love a wretch like me? How could God really forgive a sinner like me? All my sins, all my baggage." For some of you, the question may be, does God really know how little I attend church? Does he care? Yes, he does. He cares, and he knows. He knows your sins, yes, the public ones, and even those secret sins. Despite all of it, so great is his love for you, his creation. He sends his son Jesus. He sends his son Jesus to do what his name says, to save you from your sin. Jesus loves you enough to lay down his life on your behalf, and by that selfless act, the punishment sin demands has been met. Mourning someone's death, saddened by recent events, worried about how the new year is going to turn out, friends, these things and many, many others that plague your minds. Remember, even during the storms and the trials of your lives, in the midst of your sin, your Savior Jesus is still the author and the perfecter of your faith. Even during those times, he promises never to turn his back on you, to abandon you, or forsake you. There is never a time, never, when you cannot find the love, grace, and mercy of God and the one whom he sent to save you even from death. Not even death can overcome the baptized. Not even death can overcome he who is alive to God in Jesus Christ. And tonight, friends, tonight, you have his peace. You have his peace. Despite the troubles that are plaguing your lives, despite those things that keep you up at night, God's peace is yours in Jesus. The peace of sins forgiven, the peace of life everlasting, the peace that transcends understanding, that's the kind of peace I'm talking about. And it is yours in Jesus. There was no room for Jesus in the end, but he came anyway. This is good news. In the midst of your trials and affliction, God is with you because Christ, your Savior, is with you. You who he came, lived, and died for to make you his child. Take this message with you. And not just tonight, but may every day God stir us to respond as the shepherds did, and that is praising and glorifying our Lord and our King for all that he has done. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.